The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. And, okay, so, hey, why don't you give me a call? Five open lines, 877-207-2276. Love to hear from you. If you're new to the show, what we do here is, stuff coming in. So what we do here is answer questions on the Bible, and we teach doctrine. And that reminds me, I'll be teaching a Bible study tonight, and I'll have it online. You can go to the carm.org website. You can also go to, I think, Facebook here. We'll also have it. And I just teach through theology. And it's a different kind of a Bible study. It's not literally verse by verse. It's more topical, because what I'm doing is going through the issues of the grounding of theological necessity. And so I started a few weeks ago with the doctrine of the Trinity, monotheism, went through Unitarianism, Binitarianism, Trinitarianism, and Eternal Covenant and things like that. And so now what I'll be doing tonight is I'll be teaching on the fall of man and on the sufficiency of Scripture and the nature of truth as it's tied into God's existence. So we're going to be going through that. I'll be going through Genesis 3 a little bit on some of these issues. So if that sounds interesting, all you got to do is tune in later tonight. It'll be 9 p.m. Eastern time. I teach here at 7 o'clock at my house. And we've got the camera. In fact, I just set some camera stuff up. And hopefully it'll work out really nicely. And the problem was, you know, I called up Laura. Laura's a friend of mine, works with Carm, and I said, hey, Laura, can you get on online with me and go to this address? I'm going to test out everything. And it worked perfectly. And it really bothered me. It's like, okay, you know, I'm always pushing a rock uphill. How come it went so easily? And so, you know, I was suspicious. And then sure enough, we had a little bit of a problem, but got it fixed. So there you go. We got it all going. And that's that. Now, if you're interested in an Israel trip, just go to the CARM website, carm.org. You'll see a black bar at the top, and click on that information there. Now, a lot of people who listen to the show don't go to the website. You got to check out the website. I do the show because, well, I'd like to help people and teach people. But more importantly is the website. The website's had 145 million visitors, and it gets thousands and thousands of visitors every single day. It is full of information. I've been working on it for 25 years. Literally, 25 years. I've been working on this thing. So there's a lot of information there. carm.org. We're still polishing up the new build, and all you got to do is go check things out. And if there's problems on the site, just email webmaster@carm.org, and we'll get you, you know, get whatever it is taken care of. See how easy all that is? All right, four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Nelson from Bakersfield. Nelson, welcome. You're on the air.
God bless, Matt. Hope you're doing well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to say this. From 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. 23, can you pull that up real quick and read it in context?
Sure. 1 John 2:23. Okay. Sure. There it is. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was talking to, first let me see if I got this. Because he asked, because I have a friend, he's a oneness, modalist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he asked me, who do you worship, the Son or the Father? And I gave him this scripture here in context. Because it says, whoever has a Son has a Father. Mm-hmm. So I know it doesn't say worship, but am I correct where saying, if I have the Son, I'm worshiping the Son, so because of the scripture, I also have the Father. Mm-hmm. Would that be correct?
Yes. And what his question was a false question. Do you worship the Son or the Father? It's a false dichotomy. We worship the Son. He is worshipped. Matthew 2, 2, 2, 11, 14, 33, 28, 9, John 9, 35, 38, Hebrews 1, I believe it's 6. And yet the Father is also worshipped, because Jesus says to worship and serve the Lord God. This is out of Matthew chapter 4. So we do both. So his question was a wrong question. I need to point it out. Wrong question. And I often say to oneness people, I said, if you understood what our position was, you wouldn't ask that question. So it's telling me you don't understand what it is we teach.
Yeah, because, I've showed him so many things. I'm showing him scripture, but his interpretation of scripture, I read him John 14, and I replaced the Father, I replaced God and the Son using the name of Jesus. And it does not make sense where he says, I forget where he says to the disciples where he says, I won't leave you as orphans. I will pray to the Father and he will give you another comforter that he will be with you. So I said, I will pray to Jesus that Jesus will give you another Jesus, that he will be with you. Right. That doesn't make sense.
I'll tell you what.
And so he's,
okay, I got you, but I got to wait for you to help you out, all right?
Okay. All right.
So what I want you to do is take a look at John 6, 38.
38, John 6,
38. Okay. And this is going to be a difficult verse for them to deal with. And what it says there is, let's see, there we go. Let's go. Let's get this in here. Let's get that. There we go. All right. So this is what it says. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So this is a very interesting verse, John 6, 38. If you're a oneness person, Jesus says, I came down from heaven. Now, they won't have a problem with that. Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Who sent him from heaven? He sent me. He didn't say, I sent myself. But he said, he sent me. The will of him who sent me. This is John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is talking about before the incarnation. I've come down from heaven. That means he was in heaven. Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That means while he was in heaven, someone sent him. So ask him, who was it who sent him? Okay?
Because I know him pretty well. He says, Jesus. Because he's going to say that this is the mystery that you have not been revealed until God reveals to you. This is the mystery that he's talking about. Because he says this is spiritual and you need to understand. He goes on about the mystery.
I got you. Mystery and all that. You say, so Jesus sent himself, right? You say, well, yes, Jesus sent himself. He'll say, Jesus sent himself, right? Then why does it say of him who sent me? Why doesn't it say he sent himself? Why does it say
myself? Yeah.
Why does it say that? It doesn't say what you say it means. It says the opposite. Now, I'm going to tell you something about people with cults and cult mentality. Now, let me show you how you do this. This is what you got to do. You say John 6:38 over and over again, and you say the same thing over and over again. While he's saying, well, the Father is this and that, this verse over here, and the Old Testament that, you just say, but John 6:38 says, Jesus says, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So who sent him from heaven? Because he says, he sent me in John 6:38. He'll say, well, he sent himself. But that's not what it says in John 6:38. In John 6:38, it says, the will of him who sent me while he was in heaven. That means someone was in heaven with him to send him in John 6:38. So please answer. How do you answer that from John 6:38? See, what I'm doing repeatedly is say that verse. I want him to memorize it. And you repeatedly ask the same question in different ways about that particular verse. If he goes, well, it says over here in John 14:6, or it says, Hebrews 1:3, or it says whatever. You go, I got that. We can tackle that later. But here in John 6:38, it says, this is what you do. You stick to it.
Okay. Stick to the top, to the verse.
Stick to it. Yep. And after you see that he's not going to go anywhere, and you can start asking questions. What verse are we talking about here? What is the verse? Can you tell me the address? They'll go, John 6:38. Now you know he's memorizing it. This is what you want, because he's gonna deal with it. He'll have to deal with it. Come down from heaven, not to do my own will. Wait a minute, my will, but the will of him. That's two different wills.
Yep.
Not my will, but will who sent me. So how can you have two wills? Can you please explain that? And I say, well, you see, it's just poetic. It doesn't say poetic. Did he come out down from heaven? Yes. Is that poetic? No. So please tell me. And plus, this whole pericope will just blow him away, because they teach you can lose your salvation. Well, here he says you can't. You know, you can go into that too. All right, so what verse? Thank you. Let me ask you, Nelson, without looking at the screen or whatever, what verse are we talking about here?
Was it 6:36, right? Yeah.
Oh, no. John 6:38. Come on, man.
John 6:38.
Now, this is how you memorize Scripture. Let me tell you. And then I'm going to take you something else in the Old Testament, because we've got no callers. Wait, I'm going to show you something.
Yeah.
But what you do to memorize Scripture, you do something like this. You say John 6:38. But you say John 6:38 so many times that when you say John 6:38, it's just one word. It's John 6:38.
Mm-hmm.
Because you say John 6:38. So what does the verse John 6:38 say? Jesus came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him who sent me. Okay? I mean, that's a short one. I got it memorized. Mm-hmm. So where does it say in the Bible that he came down from heaven to not to do his own will, but the will of him who sent him? John 6:38. What does John 6:38 say? It says that he came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him who sent him. Where does it say he came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him who sent him? John 6:38. You go back and forth like this. The reason is because if someone says to me on the radio, hey man, where does it say that Jesus came down from heaven not to do his own will? John 6:38. I don't memorize it one way, I memorize it two ways. John 6:38 says, and the verse, blah, 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 the address is. You go back and forth. You say it in your head, and you get a piece of paper, and you write down John 6:38, and you write out the whole verse. And then you keep that piece of paper with you. And whatever verse you're going to memorize next, you do the same thing. That's how you memorize stuff. Okay?
Amen. Yeah,
because
I'm sorry, one.
Okay, go ahead.
No, because he had mentioned to me that he sent me a video that a former pastor he passed on, and he used to be believe in the true God, the God of the Bible.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't understand it no longer, so he basically became a oneness, and he died a oneness. And so he told me, he sent it to me, and I told me, I'll watch it, I'll listen to it, and I told him, but I'll send you another video explaining the Trinity. It's from this brother named Kelly Powers. I think you may know him.
You debated
him in the past.
Yeah.
And so he told me that, he flat out told me that, you know, I ain't going to listen to that video. I mean, I'm sorry, but I don't want to be disrespectful, but I'm just not going to listen to it.
Okay,
and
tell you what.
I was just like, wow.
Tell you what, look, we got a break coming up, okay? And I want you to stay on, because I want to teach you something out of the Old Testament to use with them. Get a pencil and paper during the break. You want to write these things down. Actually, you don't have to. I got a paper I can tell you to go to. And we'll talk about that as well. Okay, buddy? You want to hold on?
All right. Yeah.
All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We will be right back. Do stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. Welcome back, that is. Let's get back to Nelson. Nelson, all right, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, now on CARM, there is an article that I'd like you to check out. It's called The Plurality Study. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we've talked about this before. You've heard me talk about it before, but this is one of the oldest studies I ever learned. And I've known this for 40-some-odd years. And I've used it countless times in different contexts. So are you familiar with the article?
Yeah, I remember you had mentioned it to me a while back, like you mentioned right now, to use it with the J-Dubs.
Mm-hmm. It works with the oneness also.
And Okay.
And I was at the Anaheim Convention Center, and back, I don't know, 30 years ago, whatever. And it was a oneness Pentecostal meeting. And five pastors gathered around me as we had a nice, polite conversation. And three of the pastors ended up just walking away halfway through my presentation as we had discussed this. I had it memorized, I had their Bibles. And two of them stayed and heard me out. And one of them looked at me after I presented it to him, and I'll present it to you. And he said, "This is really interesting. This is interesting." He says, "I can see why you're Trinitarian." So he actually saw the point. So let me get to it. All right.
Yeah.
So in Genesis 19:24, it says, "The Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah." Here we go. "The Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven." And I showed this to them. I says, "Notice what it says. It says Yahweh rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from Yahweh out of heaven."
Oh,
and then,
yeah.
And what I'll do is I won't say anything. I want to see their reaction. Because a lot of times they'll look at it, and you got to watch them. And I've done this so many times over the years. They'll stare at it. J. Dubs will stare at it. Oneness Pentecostal will stare at it. People go, you know, Unitarians will stare at it. I don't say anything because they're focusing. They're looking at it. They see the problem. And I don't say a thing. And so...
Yeah.
They'll look at me, and sometimes they'll say, "Are you trying to show me the Trinity?" And I'll say, "You got the Trinity out of that? Interesting." But I'll say, "Well, that's interesting." And then I go to the next verse. I'll say, Amos 4:10-11, it says, God says, "I sent a plague among you after the manner of Egypt. I slew your young men by the sword along with their captured horses, and I made the stench of your camp rise up in your nostrils. Yet you have not returned to me, declares Yahweh. I overthrew you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." What? Why would God speak
it's
like
true.
That? It's interesting. And what you do, you watch them. And they, you know, and if you're doing this over the phone, just listen. Because if there's a pause, that means they're thinking. Just wait. You don't want to destroy the moment, so to speak. Okay.
Yeah.
So then can I show you some more stuff? And they go, okay. In Genesis 17:1, "Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord, Yahweh, appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty.'" Now I ask him, it says the Lord, when he was 99, the Lord appeared to him and said he's God Almighty. Did the Lord appear to him and say he was God Almighty? Now what I'm doing is asking exactly the question that the verse clearly teaches.
Yeah.
Now, what'll probably happen, or what may happen, is he may say, "Well, it's the angel of the Lord, angel of the Lord, angel of the Lord stuff." Just say, "Well, let's get to that a little bit later." And you focus. You focus on one thing. Don't let him take you someplace else. Say, "Well, can we look at that later? I want to go down this list of things." And he goes, "Well, okay." So it does say, though, that the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "I am God Almighty." And if he says, "Well, it's an angel of the Lord," well, then you could say things like, "Well, is the angel of the Lord God Almighty?" Because it says Yahweh appeared. It doesn't say an angel. It says Yahweh. And he said, "I'm God Almighty." So an angel wouldn't do that, right? Okay. Genesis 18:1. "Now Yahweh appeared to him," that's Abraham, "by the oaks of Mamre," while he's sitting at the tent door. Okay, so it's there. In Exodus 6:2-3, "God spoke further to Moses and said to him, 'I am Yahweh.'" Now, the text says God spoke to Moses. So I ask them, who spoke? They have to say it's God. If they say it's an angel, so an angel is God? God's an angel? You know? And I say, but the text says God spoke. And I just hammer on it. Say, well, Exodus 6:2-3 says God spoke further to Moses and said, "I am Yahweh." And he appeared as God Almighty. That's Exodus 6:2-3. So I say, is that what it is?
Yeah.
You see that? Okay. Now they go to, you know, different verses. I got Exodus 24:9-11, Exodus 33:11, Numbers 12:6-8. I got all these memorized. But the thing is, it says, now he may say this. If you can move away from the noise in the background, that'd be helpful. Okay. So it says in John 1:18, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God is in the bosom of the Father. He has explained him." What's interesting is that this verse is here, but wait a minute, is that a contradiction? Because it says God appeared in Exodus 6, 2 and 3, God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh. I appeared as God Almighty. And yet, John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. So what's the solution? The solution's easy. I think I got an article on Karm on this, but I did a study on the word God, theos, in the Greek. After verse 14 in John chapter 1, which says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, from then on, the word God always means the Father. So what it's talking about is no man has seen God. It's speaking of the Father. And we know that's the case because Jesus says in John 6:46, not that any man has seen the Father. So you bring this up, you say, no one's ever seen the Father. You with me? And they'll say, well, yeah. So no man's seen the Father, but yet they're seeing God Almighty in the Old Testament, right? So who were they seeing who's God Almighty in the Old Testament who's not God the Father? Now, he might say...
No, yeah, because I'm sorry, it's because, you know, that those are great points, because I remember, you know, a while back I mentioned it to him. I think it was a... real quick, can you go to 1 Kings chapter 9? I think it's verse 1 or 2, where it says, Yahweh appeared to Solomon.
Yeah.
And I said, who is that? And he was like thrown off, like, well, I mean, they talked about how that it was a dream and this and that, and he's like, this doesn't say a dream. It said, Yahweh appeared
good for you
to Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
That's correct.
So these are great. So you have an article of this, right?
Yes. And you can also go, because there's more to this, 6:16, in 1 Timothy 6:16, which says that, speaking of the Father, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen nor can see. Now, what he might say, well, they weren't seeing the Father, they were seeing Jesus, who is God in the Old Testament. Then why does Jesus say, no man's seen the Father at any time? If Jesus is the Father, and that's who it was in the Old Testament. Because the thing about a lot of oneness people is they're going to be modalists. Now, a modalist says that God was in the mode of the Father in the Old Testament, in the mode of the Son in the New, and in the mode of the Spirit in present time. So you're going to find out what his particular view is. See if he's a modalist.
Yeah.
If he's a modalist, this destroys modalism. Now,
I think he is, because he's mentioned it before, that like, and it was weird because the fact that he said it in Spanish, you know, he speaks English and Spanish.
A break. Hey, hold on, man. We're on a break, okay? Because there's nobody waiting, so that's why we're talking, which is really good.
Okay.
I think people need to hear this kind of stuff, so stay tuned, okay? We'll be right back, all right, buddy? Hey, folks, four open lines. Why don't you get in line, because we'll be done with this pretty soon. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. Welcome back. We have four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Back to Nelson. Okay, Nelson. So just get my brain back in gear for the break. So what do you think of that information?
I forgot what I was asking before I went for the break.
That's all right. So to tell you what, when you go through these, now it's called a plurality study, and you know, there's more verses to this, but I memorized this years and years ago. I've used it hundreds and hundreds of times, and it's very effective. Now, there are ways for them to, so to speak, get out of it, but they don't really get out of it. They try. They're working hard
at themselves out of it.
Yeah, to weasel out. And that means that they're seeing it. One of the things about doing this kind of thing in a personal interaction is watch a person, or if you can't watch them, but listen to them. Are they pausing? If they're pausing, let them pause. Don't jump in to fill silence. Let them see what the verse did so they can get it in their heads and then continue to focus on it. Now, let me ask you, at the beginning of the show, we were talking about one particular verse. What was that one particular verse?
John 6:38.
Good for you. John 6:38. Now notice what just happened. You memorized it wrong to begin with. You corrected yourself, and it still is in your head, and you corrected yourself. The part of the memorization is part of that. So what we have to do is undo the John 6:36 and go with John 6:38. Just say it over and over in your head and go back and forth and look at the verse. But this is what you're doing is exactly normal. That's why I tell my friends, if I ever ask them, what does a verse say, what address, don't ever give me a wrong address as a joke. And then they've done it a couple of times. I've gotten upset with them. I said, because I memorize them quickly. Don't ever do that. And they caught on. You know, don't joke, you know, because that's what I do. And so always try to memorize something properly, quickly. Now, because of this plurality study, when you start getting them to think about the issue, it was God the Father who was not being seen, but it was God Almighty. And yet Jesus says, no man see the Father anytime, John 6:46. Because John 6 is a very powerful chapter. But John 6:46, no man has seen the Father at any time. So he's talking about the Father. It can't be saying about himself if he himself is the Father. Because in the Old Testament, that would have to have been the Father who was seen. But if they're going to say, no, it wasn't the Father who was seen, it was just Jesus, then why is he saying no one's ever seen the Father? You see?
Exactly. Yeah.
And then when you go to John 6:38, he says, he came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him who sent me. Who's the will? Who sent him? In heaven. From heaven. Simultaneously. Not his will, but the will of him who sent me. In heaven. That means two wills. Who is it? Now you've got a trifecta of problems for him. And if you can memorize these verses, okay, John 6:46, John 6:38, and I would suggest John 6 or Exodus 6, 2 and 3. If you can memorize those three, Exodus 6, 2 and 3, God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh and I appeared as God Almighty. That's the verse. You get more in your head, but that's fine. Now sometimes they'll say it's a vision or a dream. Then you go to Numbers 12, 6 through 8, where God says, he says, if there's a prophet, hear now my word, if there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision or a dream, but not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak openly and not in dark things. And he beholds the form of Yahweh. So I say, at the very least, Moses saw Yahweh.
Yahweh. Wow.
So Numbers 12, 6 through 8. And there's other verses. You can go to Acts 7:2 and stuff. And when you gave, you know, 1 Kings 9:2, you know, the Lord appeared. So, and whatever ones work, but that's fine too. I don't have 1 Kings 9:2 memorized, but what I'm probably going to do is add it to the list of stuff in this plurality article just because it's a good one, okay? And so this is what you got to do in your head. You got to go back and forth in your head different ways and then talk to him.
Yeah, because, I mean, well, a couple of weeks ago, Deuteronomy 6, well, 6:4, it says, oh, Israel, our Lord God is one. That word one in the Hebrew is echad.
Right, echad, right.
And, echad. And so, if God wanted, from what I know, from what I studied in the Concordance, the blue letter, it talked about that's a compound, the plurality
right.
word.
It's like and a
so
cluster of grapes.
Use,
right.
If God wanted to use singular one, he would have used Yachid.
That's correct. Yachid.
And so I explained that to him, and it kind of got in his mind, but yet the modalist over.
It's okay.
Over that, I guess.
You got to understand something. He's a cultist. It takes years for someone to come out of a cult. It takes about 2 years. On the average, unless there's a trauma, there takes about 2 years to get their brain to shift. That's literally, okay? And then you got to undo the damage, which is one of the reasons I want to write a book, What to Do After You've Left Mormonism. What's the truth? Okay, so there's just a lot of things there, but I want to talk about. So, it's Echad, okay? And that's what it is. And
Echad, okay.
So
is it? No, okay, last question. Last question. I'll let you go. Thank you for all this. And to look it up, it was the title on the CARM website?
The Plurality Study. Look up the Plurality Study. Yes. And what I've told you and taught you is right there, and it's listed, and I'm looking it up right now. I mean, I'm looking at the article. The Plurality Study. It's one of the earliest apologetic things I learned, and it's very, very powerful. Okay.
Amen. Amen. Is it possible that we are also washed, brainwashed?
No.
By the blood of Christ?
No. We're not brainwashed. I know what you mean. But we have our minds opened.
Neither.
Because of Acts 16:14, God opens the mind of those, of Lydia. And also, okay, hold on. I got to get this going here. We change things. I got to do it this way. Anyway, God opens up the mind to believe the truth. And 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that the unbeliever cannot receive the things of God, for their foolishness to him. And oneness is clearly false. The Trinity is biblical. Well, another thing to do is this. He'll say the Trinity is false. Two questions. Mm-hmm. Ask him to define what the Trinity is. And you better know what the...
And he couldn't really explain it.
Okay. Then he doesn't know what it is. And then the question that follows that is, if you don't know what it is, why are you condemning it? And you hammer him on this. The second question is, the doctrine of the Trinity is not arrived at by a single verse. It's arrived at by looking at the whole of Scripture. It's a systematic approach. What is the system?
Yeah.
Because it's a systematic approach. It's the truth of the Trinity depends on the truth of the system. What is that system?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I've asked this question of oneness, and they have never answered it. They've never been able to. And I say, so you don't even know what the Trinity is. Most of them don't know what it is and can't define it, and they already misdefine it. And then they'll say, you don't even know how it's arrived at. So here you are condemning that which you don't even understand. I said, is that foolishness? Is it wisdom that you're doing? Which is it? Since you are complaining about what you don't know. And I'll say, look, when I talk to people in various religions and I don't understand something or they correct me, I say, okay, thank you. What is that view again? And I say, can you show me the documentation for that so that I know that what you're saying is correct? And I appreciate you correcting me on something. That's my attitude. So if a Muslim says, no, we don't believe in that. Okay, well, what is it then? What do you believe? What's the verse? What's the, you know, give me the surah or give me the hadith. You know, what is it? You know, or the tafsir. I want to know. So I ask them for documentation. They therefore help me learn how to witness to them better. Because I don't know everything. So have that attitude.
Amen.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay, buddy.
Amen. Well, thank you very much, Matt. Appreciate it with everything that God has given you, and continue serving the Lord, brother.
Love you, bro. Serve him
continue
by his grace.
Praying for you and your wife.
Thank you.
In his name.
That's right. She needs a lot of prayer because of her physical health, and she's married to me. So there you go. That's two strikes.
Okay.
Right there.
All right. All right, brother.
All right, brother.
God bless.
Okay, God bless.
Bye.
All right, folks. That's one of the longest calls we've had in a while, in which I have no problem doing because I think people need to hear this kind of stuff and learn from this kind of stuff. These are the kinds of things I like to teach in Bible studies and go through them, and I think they're very useful, etc. Alberto from Georgia, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Matt Slick. I'm calling about when Joseph was a guy that, you know, put him in position of power, you know, next in Egypt.
Yes.
How he, you know, has acquired the position. I know God put him up there, but he went to some kind of school, you know, to lead the people,
yes,
how to build Egypt up, or
yes,
he was in one part like Moses, a child, into Egyptian, you know, knowledge and all that about measurements and building. So how did he acquire, you know, his position?
How did he acquire his position? God gave him wisdom because his heart was for the Lord. And because the Lord wanted him to be in the position in order to bring the people of Israel into that land so that they could multiply later on for the Exodus after that. Hold on, we got a break coming up, okay? Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Let's get back to Alberto. Welcome. You're back on the air. Okay, where were we? You there?
Hello? Are you here? Yes, sir. I'm right here.
Okay. So what's your question then? We got that little bit of info out. Do you have another question or comment?
Oh, that was never about Joseph. You talking about Joseph. You said that God gave him the wisdom. He put him in the position of power. He gave him the wisdom how to lead uh-huh. and to bring the people into Egypt so they can multiply and lead right. them out of Egypt. So,
yep.
So he didn't he's just a regular guy, just God supernaturally gave him the wisdom to.
Well, he's a regular guy, but he was anointed by God, and it took time for him to go through the suffering and the shaping and the testing to be used of God. A lot of times people, however, think today that you want to be used of God. Well, why isn't God using me? I prayed it 5 minutes ago, and they think that they're ready as they are. Even Joseph had to be prepared. And God, when he uses us, sometimes the bigger the use, the harder the preparation. If you're like me, with a genetic deformity called thick skull, then it takes a while for God to get through your thick skull, which it took him years to get through and get me where he wanted me to be, which I know he's still working on. Okay?
Okay. Do you receive my email that I sent you?
I don't know. We get lots of emails. I mean,
okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, we get a ton. Yeah, I have over 10,000 emails in one account alone.
Man.
I do. That's just one account.
Man, it's talking to you.
I got 1,801.
All right, thank you,
I got a lot. So, okay. I just get buried.
Okay, thank you.
All right, buddy. God bless. All right, four open lines, folks. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Tracy from Raleigh, North Carolina. Tracy, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing today?
Doing all right.
I have a quick question for you. I'm probably sure you've encountered this question before, but my husband and I are friends with a newer ordained minister. Newer as in maybe, I guess, maybe a year or so. I'm guessing. Anyway, his wife, we went and visited their church because they're friends of ours, but his wife, I guess, had approached her husband to give a message on Mother's Day.
On Sunday?
So,
to the church.
And,
okay, that's wrong.
And so, well, I understand that it says all over the place. Well, not all over the place, but I've heard that it says women are not supposed to preach. They're not preachers. However, they are supposed to help the younger women grow.
Right.
And lead in, like, Bible studies and things like that.
Yes.
My key boils down to is how do you approach someone?
How do I what?
How do you approach a friend and let them know I'm not so sure this is the right path? Or how do you?
Well, what you
how
do?
How do you do that nicely?
You go to the pastor first. He's the one responsible. He should not let his wife give a message on Sunday morning service. That she's preaching to the congregation of the ladies because she wants to get up and do a message for the women. It's not her place. She should step down. She should not do it. If he allows that, he needs to be politely, gently rebuked and corrected. If he's not open to that correction, he's disqualified from being a pastor. The pastor is supposed to teach sound doctrine. The sound doctrine is a woman is not to teach or exercise authority over men, but to remain silent, for Adam was first created, 1 Timothy 2:12-13. And in the next chapter, 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul says he's giving instruction on how to behave in the household of God. In 1 Timothy 5:17-18, it says that the elders are to be given double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. And then in Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, and 1 Timothy chapter 3, just read the whole thing there, he talks about the issue of elders, and we know the pastor is an elder, that the elders are to be anermias gunaikas, a man of one woman. Now, women cannot fulfill that position because they're women. They can't do it. And Paul has clearly stated that the way to preach and teach in the world, the word in churches, is by men. That's how it's supposed to be. So sometimes you try and get around it and say, well, she's under the authority of her husband. Then she's preaching and teaching, isn't she? But she's under his authority. Okay, you're not listening. But she's preaching and teaching over men, right? Well, that's wrong. And so it should not happen. It's not her place to get up on a Sunday morning on Mother's Day and give a message. Period. That's it. If she wants to give a message to women only, that's fine. Go into another room, a message only to the women. No, not a problem at all. Support it. But not in a church context, of an authoritative context, in the church congregation, in that setting. It's wrong for her to do that, and he needs to be corrected, and politely. I'm willing to talk to him, help him out, and she needs to be corrected as well, and if neither of them are open to being corrected and being taught, that means you're non-teachable. And I literally am working on an article, How to Identify False Prophets, and one of the things that a false prophet is not is willing to be taught and corrected. True teachers of God are willing to be corrected. And so, you know, I know an awful lot. I've been studying for a long time. But if I'm at a Bible study and someone says, I think you're wrong about something, Matt, I'd say, okay, what? And I'm not mad. It's like, maybe that person is correct. I automatically assume that's the possibility. Maybe I've blown it somehow. I'm open. And I say, show me. Because it can happen. If someone says, no, I'm not going to receive...
I mean, we're human, yeah.
Right. And if a pastor says, no, I'm not going to listen to you about this, well, then it's not a humble person. Why is he in a pastorate position? And if she's not willing to be corrected on this, then she's doubly disqualified for being a woman and being unteachable. This is a serious issue. And what's happening here in the world too often is women, men and women are just wetting their fingers, lifting them up in the doctrinal wind, whatever way it's blowing and society says, and they head that way. And the sovereignty and the power of God's word is not primary. And they listen to what is being said and done by others and the feelings of their own heart. And they compromise the word of God and the word of truth. They need to repent of that. And every pastor who does this, who lets a woman teach, is either disqualified because he can't discern truth, but maybe, just maybe, he would be qualified if he's willing to be corrected and he says, this is what the Word of God says, I was wrong, we move forward from here according to what God's Word. If that's the case, then okay. But if they are not willing to be corrected, they're disqualified from the pastorate. They should step down. This is serious stuff. We need to clean the church out. And repentance begins in the household of God.
So it's my job to say something? Because I know what's going to happen.
Okay, what's going to happen?
He is already giving her the okay that she could do whatever she is planning on Sunday.
Then he's not being a biblical man and a biblical pastor. I would strongly urge that you politely approach him, and you can go to CARM, and you can bring up the article there. What's your email, people? It's a single sheet with information on it. You can print it up and you can give it to him. And you can say, 1 Peter 3:15 commands that everyone give an answer for the reason of their hope and their faith that they have. I'm asking you to give me an answer why you have women get up and teach and preach. In authority, because that's an authoritative position on a Sunday morning. That's absolutely authoritative position. Say, here, and I'm asking you to, could you please read this, respond to this? And you could, if you want, you could say, the guy who wrote this is willing to talk to you very politely and gently and go through the teachings on this and answer any objections. And if he says, well, no thanks, well then, in my opinion, you take it to the church because the pastor is not willing to be taught and refuses the correction of the Word of God. Then go to the congregation, pass out the same thing to all the people as they kick you out of the church.
Now, I am not a member of this church. I just...
Don't give me to be a member. Membership is not biblical. Okay, if you're not... You don't attend that church, sorry. Well,
No, I visited.
Yeah, it's wrong. Go to the pastor. You're qualified. I'm intimidating people. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Why not? Print it up, take it to them. What about this? Say that in front of the church. Pass out literature in front of the church. I've done it at churches. I've done stuff. I'll tell you, it gets people upset, though.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I do appreciate it. I will see what happens.
Yeah, let me know. Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You have a great day.
You too, Tracy.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, let's get to Ed from North Carolina. Ed, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Doing all right, hanging in there, correcting error. What's up, buddy?
Oh, I'm always in error. So you probably correct me every day.
Me too.
They I've always heard people say you're in our prayers and everything, and talking about prayer specifically in John 9:31, the man born blind from birth.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to tell the Pharisees why, how, you know, how they're wrong and what they're propositioning this guy's evil that healed you. And he says, we know that God heareth not a sinner's prayer, but if a man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And then there's other things in Psalms that says about God cannot be of darkness. His face and his ears are against those who sin.
Mm-hmm.
My question is people who pray to God other than the prayer of repentance, I can't say that God can't hear them because he can do what he wants, but I think it's against his nature to be able to hear, and I'm just wondering where you stand on, you know, as far as
politically,
can God hear a prayer of a sinner?
You mean,
who's in darkness?
Okay, let me ask you a question. When you say hear, you know, we know it's not with literal ears, but you mean, is he aware of their prayer? Is that what you're asking? The sinner's prayer? The sinner prayers?
Yeah, I mean, not that he acts on it, but...
No. One thing at a time. One question at a time. Very specific. Are you specifically addressing the issue of audible, he can hear in his mind, whatever it is, he's aware of that person's prayer? Is that what you mean by hear?
Yes.
He doesn't hear.
Well, yeah.
Then he knows all things. He knows their prayers. He hears their prayers. He's aware of them. Okay?
But isn't that partaking of darkness?
God knows everything, everywhere, all the time. He knows what wicked people even think. If they're thinking, like a Mormon praying to their false God, and they're praying to their false God, does God hear and is he aware of that prayer? Of course. What it means in John 9:31, he does not hear sinners. He doesn't abide and answer them covenantally because they're not true believers. He's not really answering them. That's what it talks about. That's what it means. That God does not hear sinners. It's in the sense of he doesn't listen to them. You know, but he knows all things. He hears them in a sense, he's aware of what they're saying, but he doesn't hear them in a sense, he doesn't answer them because they're sinners. That's what's going on, okay?
All right, thank you.
What a time, buddy. Sorry about that. And how to watch the Bible study tonight? Sorry, John, all you got to do is go to Carm Facebook tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and that'll answer that, how to watch the show tonight. May the Lord bless you all by his grace. Back on here tomorrow. We'll talk to you then, folks. See you, bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.